Hello, here we are with Pranamora Podcast, episode 3. We have our cacao here. It is hot. It is delicious. It's got some fresh coconut milk inside.
Welcome, welcome. Happy to be back here for our third episode. And so today's topic is very interesting. I like it. We had a conversation or several conversations over the last week, and I wrote a little text about it, like a little post about it on Instagram. And the topic is based on a question. The question is, if you move to paradise, will you automatically be happy?
That's a good question.
Something along the lines.
That's a good question, right? I mean, postcard life of beautiful beaches where the palm trees meet the turquoise blue ocean. It seems pretty perfect, right?
Yeah. I mean, basically, it can mean different things for different people. For example, your paradise can look like mountains and snow, or whatever it is for you, whatever is your like dream environment where you think you'll be most happy, you feel the best, you know, whatever is most comfortable for you, whatever is your dream, your paradise location. So the question is, okay, so if you would be able to find that place, and if you would move there, if that would be so impactful that you would just be happy in your life.
So impactful that you would just be so happy in your life. I mean, that's such a great question because we know both of us moving to paradise, right? It is a paradise location, though at the same time, it's just like any location. It has many different sides to it and many different sides to us as well.
Yeah, well, let's start maybe with exploring or talking about the journey, because paradise can also change for you, I guess, right?
Absolutely. Like for example,
I never really planned to move to Costa Rica in the first place, and then it was pretty spontaneous. And I always liked warm locations and beaches and, you know, ocean. Who doesn't like that?
But some people. I know many people who don't like the warm locations.
But so, to be honest, for example, for quite a long time, especially when I was younger and in my teenage years, so I'm from Germany, from a really small town with like 50,000 people living there. And so I always kind of dreamed of moving to, or I knew like one day I would move to a bigger city, be it in Germany or be it somewhere else, you know. And then of course you see the movies, you know, where people are in like New York City or in London in UK. So like all these big like metropolitan cities. And that was more my kind of dream. Like I wanted to be in a big city.
It's so interesting because that's similar for me too. I grew up, as you know, because you've visited my hometown twice and me yours.
Yeah, even not Mine's even the town. It's
yeah,
like nowhere.
Village in the middle of nowhere. And funny enough that now here I am in a village in the middle of nowhere, Costa Rica. Though, yeah, when I grew up in a small hometown in the middle of nowhere, you know, in the middle of a, you know, lake region in upstate New York.
Beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. But as a child growing up, it's quite boring.
Yeah.
Your friends are 40 minutes to an hour away. I remember my parents driving me to my friends' houses, and gosh, they're so lovely and so sweet that they would actually drive my friends home too, driving maybe 45 minutes to an hour each way to drop a friend off who had spent the day with me on the lake.
Yeah.
Very sweet. So I knew as a child I did not want to live in a place like that when, well, I thought that I didn't want to live in a place like that when I grew up. I wanted to live in a city. So when I graduated, I went to a big school actually. I went to a huge university that had, I think, oh gosh, maybe 5,000 or something students per class, per grade. And I went to a big school with this intention of I want to be as social as possible and meet as many people as possible and have just the most fun, because I didn't grow up with that. So for me, that kind of college life was paradise, where other people went to a huge school and they wanted to have a very small, intimate experience.
I think it's kind of normal that we usually, or oftentimes, we crave like the opposite.
The
that
contrast,
we have. Like
right?
The contrast.
The contrast,
you know?
Yeah.
If you're in a big city, you may want to go to nature. If you're in nature and you may want to go to the big city. And then even now, you know, now we're in nature again. Maybe sometimes we crave the big city. That's why we like to travel.
Not so often the cities, though. We end up wanting to come home pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's still nice.
It's nice.
For a little bit.
And then we realize we miss those things about the slow, very comfortable life in the jungle. Yeah.
Which is a good thing if you like your home and you miss it.
Absolutely. So after college, I went to New York City, worked on Wall Street, and that life was a complete contrast from when I was younger. And for me, during that time, New York City was a paradise. Yeah.
It was a paradise. Yeah.
It was a paradise at the time. You know, I had access to all these cultural things and I was busy and I started my wellness company after Wall Street. And it was the mecca for that, especially at the time back in 2013, 2014, when I started my wellness company, I was surrounded by people who were on the forefront of that, which was really exciting.
Yeah.
And you were in Berlin.
Well, no, first I was in London.
First London and then
so
Berlin.
From the tiny little town in Germany, I moved to London in UK, which is like a huge million people city, like totally contrast. And it was amazing for me so much that I decided to stay there. So I moved there for an internship, planned to stay 6 months. But then after 4 months already, I noticed, well, this is giving me so much, like so much, you know, growth, so much opportunity. I dived into the startup community there. And I made it happen to stay, and I decided, okay, I have to do something. I have to find a way how I can stay there. So I ended up becoming a freelancer and, you know, finding my way through getting jobs and being able to stay there indefinitely. So I decided, I literally said, okay, I'm going to stay here. I don't know how long, like however I want, indefinitely. After a couple more months, I saw it's working out, and then I could still live there basically right today. Like I could, I didn't, but I didn't, you know, stay there, but obviously. But
Thank goodness.
That was, yeah, I think, I don't know if I would call it my paradise, but definitely so much that was really exciting to me. Like it offered so many things that were really exciting to me. And I still hold in my heart, and especially the time there, though it was very clear also for me when it came to an end, and I felt, okay, no, it's over, you know, because at the end, when I moved after like 1.5 years, so it didn't take me so long, I really felt that, okay, yes, I could still stay. And at the same time, I knew it doesn't really give me so much more like growth opportunity. I did so much there and I grew so much. I learned so much and experienced so much. And I felt I'm kind of like done with that. And at the same time, to really enjoy what it has to offer, I also wasn't in the right place. Like, you know,
in your
work-wise,
career-wise,
financially, I was just working way too much. And I was working on all different kind of projects that were not making money immediately, more like for the future, like investing time in building things. So, and London is an expensive city. So for many different reasons, I knew, okay, it's time to move on. And then I moved to Berlin, another big city, another contrast. So, which was awesome because it offered just a much better work-life balance. So the cost of living were much lower, so that alone offered me to take a bit more easy, less pressure financially, and also the culture. People are just much more relaxed in Berlin, like so much more. The culture is really different. It's a bit smaller. It's still really big, but it's just like smaller and different kind of like city layout design, and more relaxed generally. Not so in London, everyone is so much stressed out all the time. It's like New York, like everyone is in a rush all the time. So Berlin, people like to chill.
People are bike riding all the time.
Yeah, people really like to chill.
Parks, lots of nature.
Yeah. So that was a great move at that time. It was also right for me. And I started traveling. So I got to know many different cultures and countries. And I think I always knew, or my goal was always to at least have a second kind of base, because the winter is really nothing you really want to experience in Berlin, I would say, you know. So at least, and winter means more like 4 or 5 months of the year, you know, if you take the time before and after and around. And so I always knew, okay, I have to find a way, or want to find a way to at least have a second place I would go for that time. So I started traveling. So at least I got out for like 2 months, you know, two and a half, three months. So working remotely from Indonesia, from Brazil.
The main
time I spent in Bali, but then that was the 1 year, and I just connected it with different locations close by, you know, on the way and on the way back. And then the second year I stayed in Brazil, and for a longer time too, which was nice. Just like starting to explore how it actually feels to be away from your home, or let's say from Europe for a while, which was cool. And then I came back to Berlin before I can move to Costa Rica eventually. So I think that gave me already kind of like a hint And I felt, especially the last one, like the Brazil trip before, that was about half a year, a bit longer, before I moved to Costa Rica eventually. Yeah, pretty much exactly half a year. So I came back, and then half a year later, I moved to Costa Rica. So that gave me a good feeling how it is actually to live in such a different culture and country and climate and all that.
And that's so amazing, too, to have those contrasts, as we said, because you really get to discover where, as a human, you really... you find your place on the earth. For me, after New York, it was LA, and that was a huge contrast. And that gave me this experience of more of a feminine energy, because LA has more of a flowing type vibration than New York, a very fast-paced linear. Yeah. New York is very fast-paced, it's linear. You have the grid system of all the streets. LA, you have the PCH, the highway that runs along the ocean.
Interesting. I actually never thought about that. The grid system, that this is like a interesting, like the layout of the city actually
square
effect.
And the
super square. Everything is square and concrete and
And then LA is the contrast of the mountains and the cliffs of Santa Monica, of Malibu meeting, and you know, down in Laguna,
you have the
cliffs meeting the ocean.
So you have
those bluffs that go down into the ocean. It's a very feminine energy of landscape and design, and the curving highway that curves down from San Diego all the way up into, you know, San Francisco and up north, right? So it's this curving road. And so California itself has a different feminine type energy. And at that time, I was evolving into, from this masculine Wall Street type energy, into a more feminine, earthy, going into my wellness and yoga and going into that world. So for me at that time, LA became my paradise. And
I didn't
ever think I was going to leave LA, actually. It's, as many people know, they associate me with living more in LA than New York, because they say I still embody that essence of LA more than my New York error that I had. That error of New York, it feels like a different body, as we talk about a lot. We mentioned it today on the beach. I mean,
absolutely. So it's crazy. It's literally crazy. Just to give some context, you had, like, when I saw you old, what was it, like, driver's license photo or something,
yeah,
I literally couldn't believe it's the same person, like,
scary,
honestly,
right?
And that's kind of funny, maybe not really imaginable, but like you changed, your glow and your skin, your radiance, I mean, your hair color even went from like darker, like reddish,
naturally
to
blonde. Even in
it's
LA,
really
it turned lighter in LA originally, because I was in so much salt water, sunshine,
yeah,
vibration.
It's so funny, yeah.
Yeah. So LA became my paradise, and I actually didn't think I was going to leave, because I found that home inside myself. I found my essence of creativity. I was in my flow. I found community. And I didn't think I was going. I wasn't looking for Costa Rica. I wasn't looking for a new place.
But that's the funny thing. I also wasn't looking for a new place. Like at the beginning, no, I wasn't really looking. I was really set in Berlin. I had everything there. I had a company there. I had employees. I had a physical business, like a location that I rented, like a studio. And I had my little electric car, and I had my flat.
So
I didn't
your
own
bike,
a flat, but I had
your
racing
bike.
Yeah, I had everything there. Like I really built over like 5 years or so. I built up my life there. I was at a point where I kind of was there where I wanted to be, and things were looking pretty good. So I really had my life set up. I was probably still working too much in that sense. So I didn't really live as much as I should, quote unquote. Like I didn't use everything that the city had to offer often. So there was still room for improvement. I was still kind of not fully healed from the whole like hustle culture, startup entrepreneurship, London hustle culture. But I was getting there. And I was really set. So I didn't look for the place. But that's the thing. When you open to receive some guidance and signs and nudges, then some magic things can happen. And suddenly you ask yourself, how did I even get there?
And that's the thing, when you don't try to control, this is where I should go, and let the universe or let yourself be guided by the breadcrumbs. For example, coming to Costa Rica, I came on a house swap. I was swapping my LA house for a house in Nosara, Costa Rica. And at first I declined the house swap offer because I was so happy in LA. And that's the thing, I'd found home inside myself. So basically I could be happy anywhere, to be honest. I probably could have been happy going back to New York City, even though I wasn't going to. I was set within myself. I was in my flow. I found my rhythm with my, you know, the work I was doing. And so coming to Costa Rica, I was already feeling this happiness and this home inside. And when I got to know Sara, I was pretty much kind of more shocked than ever that it became like this instant knowing inside myself that I was going to move here to Costa Rica.
You instantly knew it?
I did. I felt it.
You felt it?
There was an earthquake the first night that I was there. And it was almost a 6.0 earthquake. So it was a pretty big one. It was the first time even living in LA, I hadn't experienced an earthquake in LA, which is pretty rare.
Yeah.
And the whole house was this glass house. We passed it when we were there together. I actually remember that beautiful glass house. And I was like, this was my welcome. I'm meant to be here. And the moment I started walking around the area, I had no idea because it boggled my mind. I had all these clients in LA. I had, you know, appearances and events and all these things.
So you were also really set in,
I was
in
set,
that sense.
Yeah, I wasn't looking for anything outside LA. I actually saw my whole future there. I was like, I'm going to have a house in Malibu someday overlooking the ocean. And this is, you know, I had a little small car like yours and my little convertible. And I was very happy. You know, I had my life.
Yeah, so I think the interesting thing is that you, like both of us, we had this feeling, you know, we went somewhere. For me, it was London at that time, and for you, it was Nosara, and you had the feeling that it just felt natural for you to move there, for me to stay there. It was just very obvious. There was just not like.
And it wasn't for a person. That's the best part of it. Is that it wasn't because someone else told me, "Oh, come here to visit me." This or that. It could be for that for someone.
By the way, for me. Even the opposite. So I was already set to leave London again after the internship. So I was there for six, I was supposed to be there for 6 months and I had my internship. I had my finances sorted out, my support, my, you know, accommodations paid and all that stuff. And I already applied for university. Like I already applied for a university in the Netherlands at that time. Like I had a cool plan, like what I wanted to study. So I was young. At that time I was 20 when I moved to London, so very young. So that was after my initial studies for my job, my apprenticeship, and then I was going to study again. Well, not again, but, you know, I was doing the bachelor's. That's what my plan was. So I always said, I applied for it, they accepted me. I had my plan. I had my kind of like start date. So I had this whole plan, and then I ditched it all because I was like, okay, I got to stay here, and I decided... I don't need to study. I don't need a bachelor's degree or whatever. I'm just going to work, dive into practice, use what I already learned. So my background is graphic media design. That's what I already studied for 3 years. And so I started working. I started diving into it and I decided to ditch the conventional plan of like more like studies and stuff and securities. And I just, it felt like the best thing to do. It felt like the natural thing. It felt normal. And it felt right at the moment.
And that's amazing because I think for many people, including myself, I was groomed on a certain path that I thought I had, you know, had to do to eventually find home, right? It's like you do this, then you work here, then you do this, and then eventually you are guided to your home where your job is, kind of thing. And taking that non-conventional route, I was able to find home before any of the other pieces lined up yet. I just knew, had the knowing inside myself. Yeah.
I mean, for me, since I always liked traveling, and so I had maybe like three times, like a couple times where I traveled with my, you know, family trips when I was a child. And then when I was 18, I think. So pretty much around that time. So I did a trip through Europe. So like 2.5 weeks or so, I went to like, I forgot, like, 7 different countries and 10 different cities. It's easy in Europe, like for the people that are in US, you know, it's so easy to travel within Europe with short flights, and you can visit different countries, and you go to, you know, go to Italy and to France and to Spain, to Barcelona, to Rome, to Venice, to all, you know, all the countries, to Paris. I did all that in like one trip. And then I continued, you know, over the time, travel more and more. So I was always super interested in different cultures, different cities, different ways to live, different lifestyles. So I think this opened up for me, this opened up the view and the horizon. This really opened the horizon because, so I still have friends or let's say people that I know from, you know, from like school, classmates or something like that. And that still live in my hometown. And yeah, like some of them, they bought a house there. I know some that are already married, or you know, they're really set in that way, and they still live there, and they're probably gonna live there for the rest of their lives, you know, and that's fine, and they're happy, and that's okay. And at the same time, I think some people, they might not have the open horizon, and if they would have it, if they knew there are so much more, and if they would have an idea of that, they might be more open to exploring it, or they might have the courage, but the inspiration, maybe is the right word, to explore more.
Travel is a great way to explore that, of what's possible, because for me too, when I came to Costa Rica from LA, and I hadn't really been a traveler to different countries besides being on a retreat, which is also a great way to, you know.
Well, you did a couple of trips.
That was once I was like in Costa Rica. Well, I did. I was guiding retreats in Puerto Rico.
That was me. And you went to Europe before too.
That was once I was in Costa Rica. Well, I went to London when I was in New York City, worked on Wall Street, and I got to fly over there and work on and projects over in the UK. But in terms of fun, just traveling, I wasn't really looking for home outside LA, back to that track, and then came to Costa Rica, came to Nosara, and it just became this instant knowing. And I think that's a big part of finding a place. If you are relocating, it just feels good in your heart, and it's not because you're following some thing other than your own internal navigation compass. And what happened very soon after Nosara, soon as in 2 years later, I found the same calling in Santa Teresa, and it's another part of Costa Rica. And 2.5 years later, found the same feeling inside myself in where we currently live in Puerto Viejo on the Caribbean side. And that was an instant knowing as soon as I landed here.
But is it the same feeling?
No, it's a different feeling, but it's similar. This is like more like oh,
like
yeah.
When you move to Costa Rica, I mean, it's such a big contrast. So this is the one. I have a couple of questions, or like it's a combination question. So the first thing is, when you move to Costa Rica, that's the biggest contrast.
Huge.
And then the difference of that move between the move from Nosara to Santa Teresa. So just the different feelings you had. Did it feel like more like the right place to be right now? Or did it feel like paradise? Or did it feel like, oh, I want to be here forever?
At first, it just felt like all of a sudden I felt like the chapter was closed at Nosara. It felt like I had grown so much in that time. And it wasn't like I needed to look for a new home or anything. But you know what was interesting? I had this flat that I rented for those 2 years. That was this beautiful place that I decorated myself and furnished myself and hosted retreats in. And funnily enough, at that time, the street right in front was getting busier and busier, getting more and more developed. And then at that time, it was rainy season, and it was during the pandemic, so everything was shutting down, and then everything was getting soaked. That I had a water leak that literally dumped water into my second bathroom, into my guest bathroom, that then water damaged the place. And it was like a sign from the universe that, okay, there's nothing going on in town right now, because everything was closed at that moment. Mm. And when I got the invitation to go to Santa Teresa, and there was two reasons why I went there. One was to cleanse, because I really wanted to do like a whole lymphatic system gut cleanse there, detox. And second of all, I had dear friends from a festival that happened right before everything shut down, and having cacao ceremonies and ecstatic dances. And I was just like, wow, this is fun. I want to see my friends, and I'm going to go out there. I had no desire to pack my bags and leave for good, but it felt like the right move.
You didn't pack your bags? You
packed first one traveled. Small suitcase.
So it was first travel, and then you...
And I ended up staying there for a month in the small suitcase.
All right, I have a funny thing to slide in here, because
okay.
I just remember, so when I was, before I, when I was about to leave London, before... I just, oh, so cool. I just remember. So actually, I also didn't really plan to leave. I always knew, okay, if I ever would leave, I would go to Berlin, because that's the, you know, most obvious option. I have family there. My dad used to live there for a long time, and it's a startup city, and I like the city and all that. So obvious choice for me, but I wasn't looking to move away either. It just was this like feeling that slowly got bigger and bigger of like, yeah, you know, do I really get something out of living here, to really use the full potential? And then I remember I had to look for a new apartment there, because of changes of the place where I was living, it wasn't aligned anymore. There were different people moving in and out and just didn't feel good. So I looked for a new place already and I had a couple of viewings and nothing like really what I loved, like what I really liked. And then I actually came up with the idea to buy a houseboat. And so London is...
I remember that idea. Yeah, London you showed me all the houseboat videos.
I love it. It's still such a romantic idea that I hold dearly in my heart.
You know I love boats, so we could do that as long as it's a warm place.
But so the story is London has a lot of canals. And so there are these, they're called narrow boats. They are long, long and narrow houseboats, or boats that are converted into houseboats. And it's a big, it was a big trend. I think by now it's an even bigger trend. It's almost like crazy, but it was a big trend for people to move onto the water because boats are comparably cheap to buy. Especially for people that would never be able to afford any like house or apartments in London. It's super expensive. So boats were much cheaper to rent or to buy, mostly to buy. And then living on the water is basically free. You just have to move every 2 weeks if you don't rent a place in a marina or something.
You just had to dock your boat in another port.
So I remember exactly. So my dad came to visit me at that time. And then I had a, I joined all these like Facebook groups, the houseboat community. And I looked, I had this viewing of this one beautiful small houseboat, like a blue, long, narrow boat. Just like the layout is like you come in and it's like the living room area with like a stove and the sofa. Then you have the kitchen and the little bathroom and then there's the double bed. It's just, the boat is just as wide as a double bed. That's it. And I loved it. It was really beautiful, really cool. And I think the price was something like $25,000 or something like that, or maybe $30,000 in conversion. So yeah, I didn't have the money at that time. So I, you know, tried to maybe borrow it from someone and like family and that, but it didn't work out at the end. So I literally didn't have the choice. So
it would have been funny if you had done that.
If I would have done that, I mean, who knows? Who knows? Maybe I would have still lived there. No? But yeah, so just coming back to connect it to your story. So I also wasn't looking for it. And at the same time, I also wasn't kicked out directly, you know. At the same time, let's say I was invited, you know, I had to make a decision. I had to like either, okay, really find a new place or just like don't. And then additionally to my flat at that time, I also had an office that I rented, which was another cool story. So I rented this office in an old fire station. So it was an old fire station.
Yeah, you told me about
that. Stoke Newington, for everyone that knows London, love it, East London. It's awesome. I found this office in like an old fire station that was converted into like a community building. So that's why it was mainly for companies or people that do something good and like cool things. So like they have like cheaper rent rates. So I also had that and I loved it, you know. And then so when the boat thing fell through and I tuned into myself and I listened, okay, what is the right move now? So basically within 2 weeks, I decided to cancel my flat, cancel the office, pack all my things and move to Berlin. And I happened to find some person that was driving with a car from London to Germany. So I managed to convince them to, you know, bring all my important things to a friend in Hamburg in Germany. And that's it. And I packed my suitcase, took a flight, and 2 weeks later I was in Berlin.
It's amazing. And, you know, so going back to that topic of you take home with you, you take yourself home to wherever your new homes are, right? It's, you wrote a post about that and I was resonating so deeply. So let's say, you know, you do these travels and you end up going to that new home that all of a sudden in your heart feels like home, right? And you know it's the next place. What, you know, can you talk a little bit about what inspired that post about finding home within yourself and how that actually became your compass for your move here to the Caribbean side of Costa Rica?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting when you move a lot and when you move a lot with so much contrast, you know, different countries and people and cultures, you really notice they're all good places in a sense, you know, they all have their advantages and pros and cons. And They all have their charm, and they're when you move, like when I moved on, I still, you know, have really beautiful memories for the different places, and some things that I might miss, you know, if I really look back, and some things that I'm definitely like much more here. But essentially, I think the most important thing, and it was how I ended my post, was that essentially you have the home, or you cultivate your home within you. Like, it's always, wherever you go, you always bring yourself, and you always bring all your stuff and all your things.
All your stuff.
And all your beliefs and all your experiences and all your patterns and all the things you're working on. Like, you bring all these things with you all the time. So it's like, to come back to the first question, okay, you move to paradise. Are you going to be happy just like that immediately? Well, maybe for like a couple of days, like holiday, you know? But then you notice all the things that you took with you. And yeah, it might be, some things might be easier for sure. Some things might be more challenging also. Like, for example, here, talk about Costa Rica, living Ooh. In the jungle. Many things are more comforting, and the climate and the weather and the culture in some senses, but also at the same time, some things are more challenging.
Depends
some simple
on, yeah,
things
depends
get
on
more
who
challenging.
You are, right? Like, depends on what you bring with you.
Depends on that as well, yeah. But just like practically speaking, I mean, just practically speaking. But yeah, so generally the summary would just be, okay, the goal, rather than for me, if I say, rather than finding the goal being finding the perfect dream place, the first goal would be to cultivate the home within me, so that I can find home anywhere because it's in me.
Yeah. And there's obviously preferences, right? Like, it's obviously, we can still carry our preferences for climate. We can still carry our preferences for fresh fruit. And,
yeah,
you know, all those things are obviously important. Though, ultimately, home is within ourselves. So, for example, you know, I could live in paradise here, though I could still wake up sad, which is a human emotion and it's fine. But if I'm constantly waking up sad, it's not the place necessarily. It's that there's some inner work that I can focus on. So then when I do that, home feels even more alive and brilliant. So it's, you know, you could go to the beach and feel home within yourself, and it makes that experience on the beach so much more joyful. Everything's more alive. The colors, you know, you can go to the beach and feel, if you feel disconnected from life, from source, from spirit, going to the beach can feel rather gloomy even on a gorgeous day, which I experience often.
Well,
you know,
actually,
I feel those, yes, tell me.
Sorry to interrupt, but actually it can even make it more challenging to be a nice place in Paris. Like when you, like even I had to learn it sometimes, you know, when you so dial into work routines, and like I literally had to learn to play. Like I had to learn to have more free time, more spare time. Like even when I was moving from London to Berlin, I had to learn. And from Berlin to here, like I'm still learning. So let's say
it's been fun to watch you learn that.
Let's say you have.
I love watching you have fun.
Let's say you have these things, and then let's say you're disconnected with life for whatever reason, you know, or you have certain challenges or try to find yourself and you think it can even be more challenging to be in a paradise place like here. And then you have this feeling of, oh wow, I'm in such a beautiful place and I still feel this and this and this. Why can I not just feel relaxed and happy and like relieved and peaceful? Like, and then you judge yourself for it. And like, damn, like something must really be wrong with me, or what is going on? Like I should, and you feel kind of like shame that you still feel what you feel. And you're like, why am I not just happy? It's paradise. So this can become.
Or get triggered at someone like me when you would see me running out in the morning, going right to the beach.
But this was also for different reasons.
Yeah.
But this can, because you're also pushing away some things in that sense.
Yeah, that's
that was
true.
Seeing, but like avoiding some things rather than. But so.
Yeah, living in paradise, it's easy to sometimes avoid things if you're constantly.
Yeah. I guess this
we'll
different people
to
do different things. But yeah, so the sense is like, okay, it can be challenging. And because living in such a beautiful place, and then you confront yourself with the things in you that make you not really happy, or that are missing to your fulfillment and happiness.
And then how did you get through that? You know, how did you move into finding that home within yourself and in now having more fun and more giving yourself more freedom?
I mean, first, I didn't find home. I also didn't find home in Costa Rica. So I moved around a lot looking for different things, like from a practical level, you know, looking for things I desire in my home place, you know, just, you know, infrastructure, events, people, culture, just exploring, finding out. I left the country even in between. I was almost done, basically. And I went back to Brazil because I knew it from the past. And I thought, well, maybe that's it. But then I went to Brazil and actually noticed, okay, wow, it changed a lot. Like, I went back to Rio de Janeiro, like a super big city, and it was just too much for me. It was like, well, first I went to a smaller place in Brazil, which was beautiful, but kind of too remote. And so then I went to Rio, and it was just overwhelming. And I had it in my mind. It was really beautiful and like amazing. And I was like, yo, that must be the place for me now to live. But then I noticed, due to my time in Costa Rica, I had already changed so much, and I really got used to the much more peaceful and calm and the nature, and such a big, big, big city was just way too much. It's just like everything opened up for me, like all my senses, my hearing, my eyes, everything was like, wow, what's going on? This is just crazy. So it was very clear for me. I went back to Costa Rica, and then I was called to where we live now, the Caribbean side, and that was the only place that called me. So like I said, I wasn't interested in any other area, any other place in Costa Rica, although I haven't seen everything. I have heard of many things, but this was the only place I was called to. And that was my home. So that's on that level. And yeah, I don't know if I, at that time, I probably still didn't really cultivate home in myself like that.
I think it's always an ongoing journey, right?
Yeah, it's an ongoing journey. I think then there was still many things to do for me, like surrendering to being here and really giving it a chance, because, you know, it's like a relationship essentially. Like there's so many things, like beautiful things and then challenges and then beautiful things and more challenges. And it's like a mix of things, and you could make it easy to say, oh no, you know, oh, this, no, this challenge, I'll forget about it. I just move on.
Moments like with the, you know, with this, there were just things that would happen with either car or, you know, just little challenges. And I remember we question often, oh, does that mean it's not aligned? Or does it mean I just need to surrender and find more? Yeah. You remember you had that the other day, you said something about the challenges and how it's actually, you kind of see it as almost a game, because you're like, how can I solve this? How can I, you look at it differently?
Yeah, that was funny. So quick detour, kind of related, but the detour was that, so amongst living here the last couple of months, there have been so many little challenges that we had with different things, you know, with like normal Costa Rica things, was like getting things, and then with repairing the car, and then with like building stuff and all the different kind of things that come up, and that sometimes I'm a bit more challenging here maybe to solve. And then I had this feeling one day where I successfully solved a couple of these things, and this was really like the day was in flow. You know, I had a couple of people helping me, and then, you know, the mechanic did the car, and then the other guy that helped with the land and the building, and it was so satisfying to me to tick these little things from my to-do list. I was like, yeah, okay, cool, that's done, and that's done too. And I was like, wow, actually, this really, right now, that feels really good to me. I'm so happy. I'm so excited that these things are taken care of. And then I thought, wow, so it's like a circle. So if I have more things and more of these little challenges that can come up, I have more things that I then can solve. And then I have more of these moments where I feel excited and happy that they are taken care of. So I thought, wow, I could shift my perspective, and I can see it as being grateful. And next time there's a challenge or something's going on, something happens, I'm like, wow, cool. So now I have another opportunity to solve it and then feel excited again about it. So that's kind of a funny thing. I tried continue with that perspective, and to be honest, I had a couple other moments where I didn't manage successfully to keep that perspective. But I think that also is a learning.
And I think that's too just a testament to how, when you find home within yourself like that, you can laugh at the, you know, you're like, okay, I didn't see that one as exciting. Okay, check, I'm still human and I can, you know, I can still get triggered. I can still get tested. And but when you have that home within yourself, you find your way back to your center more easily. And you don't let those things shake you to get so frustrated that then you throw in the towel and say, okay, this isn't my place, I'm gone. You know, I think when you find home within yourself, you get more resilient with the things that come up.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary, because you will always have things. So that's the summary. You will always have things come up no matter where
you go.
So that's our common learning and feedback. Mm-hmm. That's the answer to the first question. Yeah, you will always have things coming up.
It doesn't mean that things aren't aligned. It's just a test to how can you react?
You will always have things come up, and no matter where you go, it can be Antarctica, can be Hawaii, can be Costa Rica, paradise, whatever it is, whatever your dream place is, city. Yeah. you know, some people, they like that.
Of course, polar bears.
It can be anything, anywhere. You bring yourself, you have different people around yourself. It's still life in that reality that we live. So you will always have things come up. So the best thing you can do is to make it easier for you and make, like, become stronger in being okay with that. And this will then, what I found, this helped me to, for example, then be at a place and stay there and surrender to the different challenges and do that for a while to give it a chance, and then to see, okay, well, oh, that's still not it, okay, fine. Or as it happened here now, well, there might be something there, and that's the first thing. Okay, there might be something there, okay, cool. It's a game, okay, I played it for a bit longer and a bit longer, and then it changes, and you see, okay, it's actually the place, and I love it.
I love that you love it too, because it builds resiliency. It also builds strength, and it also builds respect. For example, the land. I truly believe in the wisdom of the earth to mirror back to us that we are either respecting and in harmony with the earth and the land, or whether we're not really in coherence with the frequency of the land. So for example, Puerto Viejo has such a strong energy frequency. It is a bridge between Costa Rica in itself is a bridge between the north, like North America and those countries, and then also South America. We're right in Central America, and we're a very peaceful country here. However, the history in Costa Rica isn't always so peaceful in itself, is that there were conquistadors and colonizers. And without going too much into that, we have the two cultures here, the Bribri and then the African Caribbean on the Caribbean side. So the land has a really strong energy frequency of two tribes that originally habitated this land. And so you feel in this environment, you feel a strong, spirit on the land. And the spirit can also tune into whether you are in alignment and in coherence, or whether you aren't really respecting the energy of the land. So for example, when we first bought our land and we started, we had worked with a team and chopped some trees down, and we could feel that the land was sad. We could feel that things just weren't in flow anymore with some of the building we were doing. Things were taking a long time. And at that moment we could have said, oh, you know, things are taking so long, this isn't the right project, we need to stop. Or we figured out, you know what, we need to get ourselves into alignment to respect the land and to really make this place feel like home for us, and also home for the animals and the plants that were here before us. And I think that that's such a big lesson and reminder for, regardless of where you're calling home, to find that natural frequency of where it is that you are finding yourself in, and to get in that current of that energy. And that helps to feel more home, to feel more in respect, in right relation with the place, with the environment. It brings in a lot more ease and a lot more things working with you than against you.
I think generally, if you connect more to the land wherever you live, it helps. And that exactly is a big challenge when you have in big cities, because it's just, you can connect to concrete, but here you can really connect to the elements, to the water, to the ocean, to the sand, to the earth, to the jungle. Like, you can really connect to it and feel it, and you can honor it, and you can, you know, keep it clean, and be thankful, and, you know, give gratitude
surrender
when you go into the ocean, you know. And one other interesting thing that is a kind of like a common story we hear from many friends and people that move here, which I believe is probably similar to many places too. There is some sort of like initiation that that's going on, where some people describe they come here and then something like pretty challenging happens or something weird, and then they got to overcome that to kind of like be initiated to, okay, you know, be accepted at living here by the, whatever you want to call it, the energy,
spirit of the land, the spirit. Yeah,
like when I came here, so I drove with my car from another part of Costa Rica. I drove here. I arrived like late at night, like I don't know, 9 p.m. or something like that. And I had to find my accommodation. It was on a pretty like steep hill with some concrete tracks and like a ditch on the side. And I drove up and then I slipped from the ditch. So I slipped from a concrete track into the ditch with one side of the car, like two tires. And then I was basically not able to drive any further. I was kind of stuck there. And then I had to get out of there. So luckily the person I rented the space from, now a good friend of us, was already a friend of you.
Yeah,
funny story.
So he
helped me out, but we had this thing of like for like 1-2 hours, and then it started raining and it was like dark and there was no light, and he had to kind of like pull me out, and then the rope ripped, and like all these kind of things happened. So eventually we managed and it was all good, but that was some sort of like initiation. That was my first night here. I wasn't even here for a day. And I heard stories like that from many people that come here and have these things happening to them. And then, okay, they overcome them. Okay, challenge accepted. It was like a mini test or something like that, you know? And then the spirit is like, okay, you seem dedicated. You want to know, you really want to be here. Okay, give it a try.
And then the thing is too, when we're open to it, the people come in. Like, you know, for example, our friend JJ was right there, able to help you. You know, when we're open to it, when we have that perseverance and we're not just like, oh, that was not aligned, I'm gonna leave. Like when we show up and we trust, the land and the people, everything starts to fall into place. And I think that's a big testament to how special this place is and how special it is when we can lean in and trust. But that takes us back to the home within ourselves, to feel that confidence and that self-security, that wherever it is, whatever the thing is. And it's a constant for me, at least, I think for most people, it's a constant journey to keep that up, especially in the tests.
Yeah, correct. I mean, I think it's just one of the biggest challenges to tune in to the guiding and the signs, like being guided by the universe, you know, whatever you want to call it, depending on how spiritual you are, but just being guided in life by higher forces. That's a better word, probably. Just being guided by higher forces and seeing the signs, and at the same time, as you said before, okay, understanding what is just a normal challenge that is good to overcome, and what is really like a sign. Like, when are we being like kind of like really nudged or kind of like kicked out of a place you really got to move on, on when is it just quote-unquote a simple challenge or a little test or something like that.
I know, the little test, it's so fun, because the little test, when we start to see those as, oh, this is cool, like this is something I can overcome, and how exciting is that, the feeling after overcoming something rather than running away. Because you know, I've felt that many times in the relationship too. There's many times where I've said, oh gosh, I'm just gonna run. Though how amazing it feels on the other side of that, when I do the inner work, I do the healing, and then I can say on the other side of that, wow, I am so grateful that I stayed and that I did the work and that I didn't see that challenge as a threat. I saw that challenge as something exciting and wonderful to do.
Yeah, and I think that if we talk about the question related to being at a place or moving around, the answer could be that if it's just one challenge or one initiation or a couple tests, that's okay. But it might also just be that it keeps happening, you know? Different things keep happening, and that is a sign that the higher forces notice that they need to make it more obvious for you, because they didn't get it yet. So then they increase the intensity of the things that happen to you. And then, you know, like things happen, like you have a water thing in your house, like yeah. water dams or whatever. Like these kind of things, which, I mean, there are also opposites where it happens in a more comfortable way, where you have some opportunity somewhere, you like right, get called right, right. by someone, or maybe you meet someone, something like that, which is more pleasant.
Like if your rent keeps rising and rising, and for example, in Santa Teresa, my rent kept rising and rising and rising and rising. And it literally was to a point where I was being kicked out to a point where, okay, a rent from $1,500 a month to $7,500 a month is a sign from the universe, my time is up there.
Yeah, but you also had this like amazing deal of this huge big house that you only got because of the whole world situation that time.
Yeah, but the thing is, I kept getting, every time I rented another place after that, the rent, it's the same thing happened. The rent kept rising at the next place, the subsequent places. And then the place that I had rented right before I came here to Puerto was this cute little tree house overlooking the ocean. And when right before I moved here, the rent had doubled. So I was in a place and I got it, and then the rent had doubled, and I got to a point yeah. where the universe was clearly giving me that, okay, we tried it over there with that house. Now listen. And I got over here and immediately found a place called Peace Garden. And the universe was like giving me that little nudge.
I think that's another way of doing these things. So there can be big challenges to overcome. There can be kind of like nudges, nudging you to move on. There can be calls, like you being called, opportunities in a positive way. Or also there can be just the path of least resistance. Mm. So where you just say, okay, flow. You know what? It's surrendering. And then you say, yeah, I mean, the obvious thing or the easiest thing is like, yeah, to take that step for you to move from Santa Teresa to here because of increasing rent or whatever it is. Or like, as for me, you know, I was looking for a new apartment, new studio, didn't really find anything that was so exciting. And I had to make a decision that, okay, you know, then I can just also move on and take that time exactly now to move, make the big move to another country in that sense. So that's just a path of least resistance is oftentimes a good one, because it's not always that we have to force things and fight for it and manifest and like just go through it. And I had to learn that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to push, because the universe doesn't respond with the pushing. It's a lot of times it's that softening, so the universe can actually, or God, source, spirit. Okay, I know everyone listening isn't always spiritual, but I like to say universe and source and spirit and something greater than our, you know, ourself, that there's usually where was I going with that?
I don't know,
but there's receptivity, and there's something, there's going to be a way that's shown to you of softening to a place where the flow can actually enter you. When you have your hands gripped so tightly, for example, there's an analogy with, you know, if you're holding sand in yeah. your hands and you're gripping it so tightly onto what you think is your, you know, your best scenario, the sand can't fall through, so the old can't be released and the new can't be in that open palm that can be received, right? If your hand is so gripped and clenched, you can't have that open hand to receive that love or that, or whatever it is, the home that's looking for you. So letting that old sand fall through so the new grace can enter. So I really like to leave everyone with that analogy, to have that open palm.
I was going to say, yeah, that's a great way to end this episode, and with a summary of an invitation, because I think that's exactly what you just described, is exactly what happens for many people in their lives due to many different reasons that are totally understandable, of routines and, you know, family and job and stability and all the different things, is that they have this, what you described as this like hand that's like closed and like hold it so strong. And so the invitation would be to for yourself practice or find your way of become more soft, you know, become more flowing, more open for flexibility and possibilities. So just invitation, see it as an invitation for yourself to first of all just become, as you said, more soft. How did you say it?
more soft, more receptive.
Yeah, more receptive, more open for whatever there might be. And it might be that it's all fine as it is. Like, it might be you do that and you still live in your hometown for your whole life. It's great. It's amazing. It's just that then when you're 80, 90, however old you get, you will not have the regret of like, oh, you know, what if I could have lived there and moved there and then. No, because you know, okay, I was open, I was soft, I was, you know, I was listening, I could have went anywhere, but I didn't want to. That was all fine, you know, it was good. So just invitation to yourself, ask yourself, how open are you? How close is your hand maybe holding? How close are you, if you translate it, how close are you with your current life? How much are you holding on to what you have, how you live? I was doing it. I was holding on to that very much. And then it took me a while to really release it due to different ways, which is another podcast. So invitation. And I think that's a great way of closing this episode. Do you have anything else to say about that?
No, I'm almost done with my cup of cacao here. So I think it's the perfect
dinner time.
The perfect farewell until next time on the Cacao with Pranamora podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. And again, as always, we are super happy if you share anything you want to share with us. Share your experiences, your wisdom, your thoughts about it, maybe even inspiration. If you now pack your bags and move to Costa Rica or any other place next week, tell us.
Yeah, we'll celebrate. Let us know your stories.
And if you say, well, I know I'm super happy where I am, and also tell us, we'll celebrate you too. Yes. And yeah, just share some love.
All right. See you all soon.
Bye-bye.